We just thank you so much for this day. We know, God, that your heart for us right now is to come into your presence with reverence. And we know, God, that right now we are about to listen to your word. And I just pray that you would help us to be attentive. Help us also to be even just mindful of the fact, God, that you are here in our presence. You are here in our midst. And you want to speak to each and every single one of us. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just simply use me as a vessel, as a messenger to share your word. And I pray that you would allow your word to be revealed to each and every single one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Before I just share about our vision and what we've been learning about as it relates to our vision, just want to remind us about this word called reverence and having a reverent fear of the Lord. Because today we are going to be taking communion. And if we actually understand what the Bible says about communion, that we are to approach the communion table with reverence. We are to approach prayer, listening to the word of God, worship even, with a heart of reverence. And what reverent fear is that it's this constant and conscious awareness that right now we're in the presence of an almighty, holy, and sovereign being. That right now God does not think like how we think. He doesn't act like how we act. In fact, the Bible says that if God were to reveal himself to us right now, if we were to see God in all of his glory, that we would all die in our human state. So God is completely separate from who we are. And I think sometimes we lose that reverence, or we lose that mindset of the fact that God's ways are higher, God's thoughts are higher than ours. And so we want to approach him today with reverence. We want to have a reverent fear of who he is, because it is a healthy fear to have. It's not a negative fear, but having a reverent fear of who God is, it allows our foundation to be built in the right way. And so if we get back to just having this awe of who God is and understanding of who God is, then I believe that's building a right foundation for our faith and for our journey as Christians. And so we've been talking about our vision. What's the direction that God wants to take us? Okay, we're not trying to understand what's the best way to build churches according to books or research or old methods or different ways of doing things. We want to look into the Bible and understand what does God desire for his church. And what God desires, we want that to be our priority, nothing else. And so we've been focusing on what the Bible says about our vision. And so through the empowerment of Holy Spirit, we strive to be the church God desires as the day of Christ's return approaches. Okay, so there's a few things there that we've understood. One is the empowerment of Holy Spirit, that we cannot do anything if Holy Spirit is not empowering us. Two, we want to be the church that God desires based on what he says in his word. And three, we understand that according to the Bible, Jesus is returning very soon. That the Bible says there are all different kinds of signs in the world that point us to the truth that he is coming back soon. So we are all going to not only be standing before him one day, But there will be a new heaven and a new earth, a new reality. And so with this in mind, we want to be striving and pursuing the things that God wants us to be pursuing and making those things a priority. Okay? And I shared a couple of weeks ago that even some of you said, oh, I'm finally starting to get it now and understand. That probably for most of the young people in this room, you have an idea of what is important, right? Get a good education. Maybe it's even reiterated by your parents or people in your family of what is important, what you should be pursuing in this life. Get a good education. Make sure you get a good job that makes enough money so you can invest and build your life here. Okay, maybe have a family, have a few kids, get the house, get the car, have all of those nice vacations. But here's the reality. Jesus said none of those things are actually supposed to be what we are prioritizing. And so it's interesting how we can have a deceived worldview of what is important. Yet according to the scripture, Jesus says, no, your priority should be to love God and love others. And everything is summed up in these two commands. And this was the first value that we learned about, love. That if we are to be the church that God desires, what does it look like for us to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength? And then also equally, what does it look like to love others? Okay, that is what we should be prioritizing. That is ultimately what we will give an account to God when we come face to face with Him. We will be judged on our faithfulness in terms of our obedience to His word. The second thing that we learned about our value is meeting together. Okay, and when we talked about meeting together, we talked about the truth that this gathering is important to God. That there are other things we could be doing now, other activities that we could be involved in. But if we are serious about our love for God and our love for others, then we will prioritize this service and this gathering. Because God says, don't neglect the meeting together. Meaning that you could be doing so many other things right now, but this is important to God. It is actually commanded by God that we make it a priority. And so if we want to genuinely follow God, well, then this also needs to become a priority for us. Meeting together. And we talked about how sharing life together is a part of the meeting. That when we come together, we're meant to be encouraging each other. We're meant to be spurring one another on, praying for one another. Okay, and I understood more and more a little bit about Chinese people from what some people have been sharing, that you guys don't like to share about your weaknesses. You don't like to share about your difficulties or your problems. Yet this is a part of what we should be doing as a church, is sharing about our struggles, sharing about our problems, sharing about our weaknesses and where God desires to grow us. We should be praying together, okay? And so, and then last week we talked about the mission, that the mission of Christ is something that we are to be committed to. This is why the church exists. Okay, and it's not just about going to Honduras. It's not just about doing VBS. It's your own individual mission. Who around you can you be sharing the gospel with? And how can we encourage each other to be bold in doing this? Okay, this is what God desires for the church. And today I told you guys that the vision PowerPoints, they're going to be a little bit more simple, okay? But today I'm going to share about the Word of God and prayer. This is today's value. Okay, so just bear with me as I read through this. We live in a time where the scripture says that deception will be on the rise. The Bible mentions that some people will have itching ears. They will want to hear teaching that fulfills their own selfish desires that do not align with the Word of God. It is imperative as followers of Christ that we know His Word inside and out. It is the responsibility of every believer to know the Word of God, test the Word whenever we hear it, and be on guard against deceptive teachings. There will be a lot of good sounding truth before Christ returns, but a lot of it is not aligned with the truth that is God's Word. Oftentimes in the church, when we think about prayer, it's easy to lose sight of what this truly looked like in the Bible. It was not something done out of religious routine or duty, nor was it something that would be casually done before God. Prayer was a reverent, obedient act done with complete awe of who God is. It was done with extreme humility, where the community of believers would interact and commune with the God of all creation. Exodus 33 says, whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Also in Acts 2, it states all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Prayer is a powerful weapon and was something that the early church devoted themselves to because they knew that a church grounded and rooted in prayer is a powerful force in the battle against the enemy. We see throughout the Bible that prayer has always been a foundational part of the lifestyle of any man or woman of God. Prayer is powerful and produces powerful results. Prayer connects us with our Creator. Prayer moves things in the unseen world. The Bible teaches us that faith is the opposite of what makes sense. When we pray with faith and love and align our prayers with the truths and promises of God's Word, we believe that supernatural things, things that don't make sense, are going to happen. Similarly, we believe that when we are truly in love with Jesus, an authentic prayer life is a direct result of that relationship, and we experience real transformation in our lives and the lives of those around us. When we, as followers of Jesus, are devoted to prayer as a part of our everyday lives. Okay, now I know that was very wordy. So here are the highlights from what is being said, essentially. When we talk about the Word of God, if we are here today and we have a genuine desire and hunger to grow in our biblical knowledge, praise God. It means your nature has been changed and your nature has been transformed. But if we are here today and we're just like, we have this attitude, I like to hear the Bible, but I don't really hunger to know it, then it most likely means that not much has changed in our nature. You know, when I first got saved, like genuinely saved and surrendered my life to Christ, I was about 20 years old. And the one thing that nobody needed to ask me to do was to go to church. That's something I looked forward to. I would wake up on Sunday and be excited to go to church, to go hear the word of God, to go and worship with other believers, to go and fellowship with other believers. Nobody had to force me to do that. I was also very excited to study the Bible. If there was an opportunity to go to a Bible study, I was there. I looked forward to that. Nobody had to force me to go to a Bible study. But what I've seen lately in the younger generation is that you really always need to encourage or force the younger generation to do the things of God, that if all honesty, there was a serious change in their heart and their nature, nobody should need to force them to do anything for God. There is an authentic passion and desire and hunger for the things of God when we have genuinely been transformed or born again. And so you have to think about that for yourself. Do you have a desire to know God? Do you have a desire to be in His presence? I'm not talking religiously coming to church on Sunday, but do you have a desire and a hunger, and do you find joy in being in the presence of God? In learning about His word, in studying His word. If you do, praise God, it means your baptism and your commitment to Christ is authentic. But if you have a lack of desire, then it may mean that there is something off. And you haven't really encountered Christ. You've encountered religion. Your nature has not been changed. Your nature has not been transformed. And the Bible says that in the last days, which we are in right now, that deception will be on the rise. You want to know why people reject the truth? Well, we're going to understand why during our spiritual warfare study. It's because Satan has deceived and blinded people's minds to understanding and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, well, I can't believe in a God who is full of grace and full of love, but also righteously judges the world, well, that's not because you, in your own logic or your own intellectual mindset, reject God. No, most likely you are being influenced by a demonic spirit. Most likely you are being influenced by Satan to reject the truth and to reject the word of God. It's not just you making a free will choice. Although many people do make a free will choice to reject the truth of God and to reject God, but also I believe based on the word of God, that choice is being influenced by Satan and his kingdom. And so if we understand that deception will be on the rise, well, for the believer, for us as Christians, it's important for us to know the truth. Why? Because there's going to be a lot of good sounding truth out there. There's going to be some people in the church, maybe some people outside the church, that will tell you young people, hey, if you're a Christian, it's okay to date a non-Christian. No, it's not okay. The Bible says, actually, don't do that. There are going to be some voices out there or some teachings out there that will tell you, hey, it's okay to casually follow God. You don't have to be that serious about your faith. Come to church once a month, connect with the body of believers twice a month. That's okay. Well, no, it's not okay according to the word of God. There will be some people out there that will tell you, well, it's okay to just go on this Christian journey and to be focused only on yourself. When Jesus says, no, that's not okay. That's called idolatry. And so we all have a different understanding of what we think is right. But when we come face to face with the word of God, hopefully it will start to change how we view the world. and how we live our life, because God does have a standard for every area of our life. And if we have a heart of reverence, if we have a reverent fear of God, and we understand that He is a special, almighty, holy, awesome being, then hopefully that reverent fear will translate into authentic obedience for the standards that God has for us. But deception will be on the rise. And the Bible even talks about this thing called itching ears. Okay, it's not like when your ear physically itches. It's a spiritual itch. The Bible talks that there will be some Christians who will want to hear teaching that aligns with their own selfish, ungodly lifestyle. They won't actually want to hear the truth. And this makes our job as pastors and teachers and leaders very hard and difficult. Because what this means is right now I could be sharing the absolute word of God and truth in this room, but probably 50% of you actually don't want to hear it. You just want to hear a version of your own truth. And that's what the Bible calls itching ears, is that there will be Christians who don't actually want the truth of God's word. They don't want to digest it. They don't want to follow it, but they will have itching ears. That means that they will want to hear teaching that aligns with the things that they want, not necessarily the things that God wants. And this is a very strict warning in the Bible. And so when we talk about the Word of God, it's our responsibility as Christians to know the Bible. This is why I've been encouraging you. Get involved in the Sunday school. Get involved in the Bible reading plan. If you don't know the Bible, you're going to go out there and hear a whole bunch of teaching that's going to absolutely wreck your faith and cause you to think a whole bunch of different things. And it's going to be very wrong thinking that will lead to wrong living. But if you know the Bible inside and out, this is what allows us to think rightly, which leads to right living. And it's our responsibility to know the Bible inside and out. And that's nothing that I can do to force you to do that. My prayer for you is that Holy Spirit puts the desire in you to know the Bible, to know God personally. There's nothing I can do as a pastor or leader to force you to know God or force you to know the Bible. Something supernatural has to change in your heart. Something has to be transformed in your heart. And then you will actually desire it and want it in a real way. The early church was committed to studying the scriptures, and it's a great example for us. This is something that they were devoted to. And we talked about this when we talked about being devoted to prayer. Okay? Devotion is not like how we've come to understand devotion. In our society, there's no commitment. Okay? Everything is advertised to have a really small commitment. Okay, you can be married for like a couple years, and if you don't like your marriage, then you can get divorced, right? That's the message out there in the world. That's not devotion, right? You can commit to something temporarily, and then you can, you know, exit that commitment if you don't like it. Okay, the worldly message of what is devotion is not the biblical message. The biblical message of devotion is to fully commit ourselves to something. Okay, and so the early church was fully committed to prayer. They were fully committed to communion. A church that I'm involved with on Sunday mornings, we do communion every week because that's what we consider devotion, right? Not knocking once a month, but for us, it's just a personal conviction. That's what it means to be devoted. Right? The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to studying the scripture. It's not a casual, I pick up my Bible and study here and there when it's convenient for me, or I need some encouragement from God because something bad is happening in my life. No, it's a devotion to study the scripture and to understand what God's plan is for our life. Okay, and we are called to be devoted to prayer. Prayer is powerful and is something we are to be committed to both individually and communally. Okay, and this, you know, the practical application for prayer is, well, we have our communal prayer time on Thursdays during our prayer meetings. I think we'll probably start to try to do some more prayer time together even on Sundays, right? But to be devoted to prayer means that it's not just a casual commitment. Okay, so I will leave a simple encouragement as it relates to prayer. That one, if you're not devoted to prayer, then we need to ask God or just make a choice to start getting devoted to prayer. Because prayer is something that is powerful. It's something that we are to be committed to as the church. And if we make the time, then I'm sure all of us could be at the Thursday night prayer meeting. It's just what's important to you. What's a priority? Is other things more of a priority, or are the things of God more of a priority? And the other thing is, every believer should have, I believe, according to the word of God, an authentic prayer life. That if we are not regularly conversing and communing with God through prayer, which is just talking to God any moment of the day, then that may also reveal our heart posture towards God. But an authentic prayer life is not a legalistic, religious, dutiful obligation that we sometimes get hit with as Christians. That, hey, guys, make sure you're praying. Say your prayer before grace, or say your prayer at a certain time of the day. No. Prayer is where we enjoy being in God's presence. And we know that we can talk to Him. We can come to Him at any moment through the day and have communion with Him. That is prayer. Okay, and I hope that we grow up in our spiritual journeys, or we grow up in our spiritual maturity with that understanding of prayer. Okay, the Word of God, I believe, is redefining a lot of the things that we kind of knew. Some good, some not so good. Okay, but when we talk about prayer, we are called to be devoted to it. Okay, and so as we continue throughout 2026, the Word of God and prayer is something that we want to value. It's something that we need to value. Okay, it's not just for our relationship with God. The Bible says there is a benefit, right? Training for godliness promises benefits in this life and the life to come, the Bible says. Meaning that when we are training ourselves in the Word of God, we are able to be more mindful of deception and those good sounding messages that are out there that have nothing to do with the truth. And we build a right foundation in our life, a foundation of truth and a foundation of choices that are going to honor God and please God. Because we need that reverent fear. And I pray that God puts that into our hearts, where we have a reverent fear of who He is. And He has to reveal it to us, where we are not just casual about God, or casual about His presence, or casual about how we live our lives as Christians. But I pray that God supernaturally turns on a light switch in some of us, where He reveals to us His true nature. And He reveals to us that we need to approach Him with reverence. Okay, is God absolutely loving and wanting to spend time with us? Yes, he is. But there is also a different level of authority and respect that we are to have towards God. He is not meant to be treated like our other friends or other people that we know. Okay? There's a different level of respect that we are to have towards God and a different understanding towards God. And so as we journey and we continue to journey throughout this year, let's prioritize the Word of God and also prayer. Okay? Are we going right into communion now? We can go right into communion. Okay? If you guys have a Bible with you,